The text of that anthem is about that word of God that's there for us in every moment. But if it's going to work in us, we have to let it penetrate our consciousness, let that word of God work in us. And not just what's in the Bible, that's the written word, but the living word of God is that presence of God, that spirit of God that wants to take hold in us so that it can express through us in our lives. The scripture that we have today sort of points us in this. The first part, this is from the book of Revelation chapter 2. He that has an ear, anybody here have an ear? It's not talking about these ears. It's talking about that listening with inside of us. He who has an ear, and he and she, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, the Greek word that's translated in English, church, is not about buildings or a congregation. What the word literally means is the called out ones. It's about a calling out, Spirit calling out its deeper parts of itself in us into expression, into lives. And so it's inviting us to hear with that deeper part of us in our lives. It's, to him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Now, manna was what the Israelites ate when they were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years before they got to the promised land. Manna was this mysterious substance that was provided by God. But here it's talking about the hidden manna, that part inside of us, again, that nourishes us, that spirit of God that feeds us from its depths, from its infinite presence, so that we have what we need moment by moment in our lives. So it says that he who overcomes, I will give to eat of this hidden manna. So we're called into this process of overcoming, and our word overcome means to surmount. That's the meaning of the word I want us to look at today. It's about rising up, that Spirit of God rising up so that whatever it is that we're facing, whatever challenge, whatever difficulty, no matter how big it seems, there's a part of us that can overcome that, that can grow into a greater expression in our life. And that's what the scripture is about. It says, I will give him or her a white stone, and in that stone a new name is written, which no one knows except the one who receives it. And so this white stone is a symbol of a new beginning, a new experience of the presence and power of God, a new name. When someone changes their name, it's because something's happened in their life and they want to identify themselves in a new way. There's Bible stories about that, but it also happens in our own lives in different ways as well. There was a story in the Union Tribune just a couple days ago about a woman who was raised with the words that she was told over and over again, you can't. She was in high school and her parents made her stay home to babysit the younger kids. She says, well, I want to go to school. And they said, you can't. You've got to stay home and do this. Later on, when she was married and had children of her own, she wanted to complete her high school education and go to college. Her husband said, you can't. And she lived with that over and over again. That was the mantra. And so she turned it into, I can't. Until one day, she decided to answer, you can't, with, why not? And once she changed the way that she saw herself from I can't to why not, there's a transformation in her life. And so in her 60s, she's now graduated from college and she's creating a whole new life for herself and moving on with a sense of capability that she has of why. And I was thinking about the I can't has this exclamation point, the why not has a question. And I thought that was symbolic of so many times when we look at life, you know, it's like it's linear. It's like, you know, it's like this and that's all there is. When life isn't like that. Life is about this movement, this fluidity of spirit that wants to work through us. And so if we look at those places in life where someone has said that this is the way it is or we've thought that's the way it is, let's entertain the question of why not something greater? Why not live in a realm of possibilities? God bless you. Why not live with that sense of joy and freedom? Why not? Why not have? That's the opportunity that we have in our lives. When I was studying to be a minister at Unity Village, we attended the Unity Church in Independence, Missouri. And George and Marilyn Rieger were the ministers there. And after we'd been attending about a year, George decided that he wanted to change his name. His middle name was Richard, and he had looked it up, and the name George means farmer. And the word Richard means powerful leader. And he decided he wanted to identify himself as Richard, as a powerful leader, rather than as a farmer. So he then named himself, he identified himself as G. Richard Rieger. And that's the way, and it was interesting to watch the transformation that took place, because that consciousness that made that declaration, here's my new name, began to show up in the way that he showed up, because he saw himself in a different way. He didn't just, it wasn't just about the name, but it was about the way he identified himself. And so we have the opportunity to look at how we identify ourselves, how we identify our circumstances, our lives, our work, our relationships. How do we name them? What do we call them? And if it's not living out in a way that works for us, then we have the opportunity to give it a new name, to give ourselves a new name, to identify it in a different way. In the Old Testament, we have the story of Abram and Sarai. We know them later as Abraham and Sarah, but in the beginning, their names represent a more limited experience. They were up in the area of Chaldea and were called by God to come down to the promised land and told that they were going to be the parents of nations. And it got to the point where they were in their 80s and they didn't have any children. And when they would be reminded, God would remind them, well, you're going to be, you know, the parents of multitudes. Sarai laughed. And so in a few moments later, weeks, months later, when she found out she was pregnant, the Spirit of God said, and you will name your son Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. And her name was changed from Sarai, which means bitter, to Sarah, is the introduction of the, that breath of God into her experience. And in Hebrew, that name means princess. Abram, whose name meant father, became Abraham. Again, that introduction of that breath of God into it, which means father of multitudes. And not only is he considered the patriarch of the Jews, he's also considered the patriarch of the Arabs as well. So there truly were nations that came from them. But they didn't see it until God moved in them in a greater way. So when we look at our lives, we may not see the possibilities. So we have to open a space for God to work in us. We have to open ourselves so that something greater can work in our lives. Because from a human paradigm, a human point of view, what we see are what isn't working. We see the limits in our lives. And we think we know who we are. We identify ourselves in that way. We think we know what our lives are about. But we're called to see something greater. Charlotte Shelton, who's the CEO of Unity School of Christianity, made this statement one time, and I wrote it down. Every organization is perfectly designed to get the results that it is getting. And we can see that, right? But as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, what if we think about this word organization and put it this way? Every life is perfectly designed to get the results it's getting. Oh, my. That means that what we're doing is creating what it is that we're experiencing. And so if we want to be experiencing something different, we need to let something different work in our lives. But again, from our human point of view, we say, oh, well, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this needs to be changed. And we have that linear thinking. We have to open up to that movement of spirit that is not linear at all and recognize that it begins not with the doing. It begins with being. Begins with how we identify ourselves in life. It's interesting, our English word identify and identity come from a Latin word that means to repeat. What is it that we're repeating in consciousness? Oh, I'm sick and tired. I'm so frustrated. I'm, you know, yan, 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 all those things that we say. We're identifying that name of God that was revealed to Moses, I am, with the limitations of our human perspective, rather than identifying ourselves with who we really are as spiritual beings. And that's what we're called to do, is to recognize that your name has power. The way that you name yourself, the way that you name your life, the way that you name your family and your experiences has power. And we are called to identify ourselves not with our humanity, but with our spirituality, that spiritual part of ourselves. So here's our affirmation for today. I am renewed in the Spirit of God. Let's say that together. I am renewed in the Spirit of God. That's the opportunity that we have to let Spirit work in us so that we can have a renewing experience, a renaming experience, working us in a different way. So here's my idea. Rename yourself as an offspring of the divine. Are you interested in that?
Yes.
Well, I've got one person. Anybody else? So this is what we are invited to do, to see ourselves in a new way, and to see that as we identify ourselves with that image and likeness of God in a repeated way, then that's what shows up in our lives. So NAME is my acronym for today, and it begins with this word numinous. What this word means, it's a wonderful word, what it means is a non-rational experience of the presence of God. Not irrational, non-rational. Because with our human rationality, we cannot embrace the infinity and eternity of the divine. And so we have to have this experience that moves us beyond that. And the word that we've created at this point is numinous. And it means this experience that takes us beyond into something greater, that larger part of ourselves. And again, in the scripture in Revelation, it was called the hidden manna. In the 91st Psalm, it's called the secret place of the Most High. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. Again, he was trying to say, secret from, because your mind, your rational mind won't know it. Your human concepts won't be able to understand it. So you've got to let them go. You've got to move beyond that and move to a place that is deeper. It's more real. It's more powerful. It's beyond what we are able to grasp with our human understanding, but our spiritual understanding can be opened so that we can let it work in our lives. A few months ago, I talked about an experience in meditation where the words that came to work with are infinite and eternal. If we're a part of God, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, that means that we have God's infinity and God's eternity built into what we are. And if we're not identifying with it, then we need to work with it. Again, what is the word identity? And identify means repeat. And when Charles Fillmore said, how many times do we need to repeat an affirmation for it to be established in our consciousness? 2,500 times. But it's not about counting. It's about repeating. It's about building that in until we open that space so that that's what's working in our lives here and now. So when we enter into a numinous experience, this place of the hidden manna, the secret place of the Most High, what Spirit will do will plant into our human awareness, into our human consciousness, a new name. It could be a word, a phrase. It could be an image. It could be merely a feeling that you have. Reverend Gretchen will lead us in the process in a little bit in our meditation time to do that. But here's the space where we open ourselves. And if I could get away with it, I'd do a Sunday service of 60 minutes of sitting in the silence. But I don't know how many of you would show up for that. I've got a few. Okay, we got a few. Because that's the space that when we open it up, that's the space where Spirit can move in us and work in us. And of course, we have to prepare ourselves for that. But that's the gift that's awaiting us. And it doesn't take 60 minutes. It happens in an instant when we allow ourselves to move with that. And once we've allowed for that numinous experience, what happens is we abound in Spirit. There's this, as we open up that space, Spirit can move in us, it can grow in us, it can expand in us. And imagine it just flooding your being. That Spirit just flooding your being, flooding your consciousness, flooding your awareness, flooding the way that you think about others, how you relate to people, how you relate to what you're doing in life. See that this abundance of Spirit is available to us in every moment. Think of the baptisms that are talked about in the Bible, the water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism. The water baptism is a symbol of a releasing of those limitations that we have. We call them sins, and we can, you know, we don't need to get into the burden of that, but to recognize a willingness to let go, a willingness to allow for a freeing activity to work in us so that there's no hindrances for Spirit. So that Holy Spirit baptism can take hold in us and can grow and can do what it wants to do in our lives. So again, our affirmation, I am renewed in the Spirit of God. Let's say it again. I am renewed in the Spirit of God. And we allow it to do its work so that we can then Metamorphose, I love this word. Another great, wonderful word. It means to change form. To change form. When we allow Spirit to work in us, it will change us. And again, if our lives are designed to get the results they're getting, and we want different results, we have to allow for change to take hold in us and to work in a different way, to let it shape our consciousness, to have a rebirth. In the Native American traditions, what many of us grew up having learned that they were called medicine man or medicine women, the words they use nowadays is shaman. And if you study the lives of the shamans, what usually happened is some traumatic experience happens in them. Many times they nearly die, they're nearly killed, or they have an experience where they go for a moment insane. And in that dying process, what happens is that the falling away of their human perspective and an emerging of a spiritual awareness comes forth, so that when they come back to life, when they come back to their tribe, they come back to their group, they come back as a different person. And they come back with spiritual gifts that are now available that weren't before because of the containment of the human consciousness. Once that's stripped away, the spiritual reality is able to express in their lives, and they become healers, and they become people who bless their communities because they're open to that. And so we need to recognize that we don't need to wait for some awful thing to happen in our lives to strip away our human consciousness. If we are willing and say, God, I'm willing. I don't want to have the cosmic 2x4. I'm ready to step into that spiritual experience here and now. Then we don't need to have those setups. We can just open ourselves, and Spirit will take us and move us and help us break out of those old patterns and live in a way that is different. Live in a way that recognizes that we are eternal spiritual beings in a temporary human experience. The value is not in the temporary human experience, but in who we are as eternal spiritual beings. And so when we know that and allow that to come forth, it'll change how we show up. It'll change how it's working. I love in the Abraham material, it says, I can never get it wrong because I will never get it done. Because I'm always creating something new. There's always something new that comes forth. And so whatever form it's been, I don't need to be attached to what it was or what it wasn't, how it worked, how it didn't work, because there's going to be a new expression in the next moment if I'm recreating myself, letting Spirit work in me in a new way. And that's the gift that we have. I was talking with one of the women who's been a part of our church for years, and she's got a whole collection of these white stones, you know, that we use for our process, for our ritual. And she says that as she's been thinking about this Sunday, she's been already praying, already opening herself, and she says, I got my new name, Joyous Expectation. She said, I was thinking about my life and the challenges that I've had and the way that I've been interacting with those things in a limited way, and I have an expectancy that something new is at work. Spirit is ready to work in me in a new way. And so I have this expectancy, and I've got this sense of joy. So joyous expectancy was here. She was so excited because she's got a new way to identify herself and her experience. She's working in a new way. So if you are willing to release your old self, disassociate from the limitations of that old self, then Spirit can help us metamorphose and bring more and more of those spiritual gifts forward into what we're doing and how we're showing up in our lives. So that then we're energized. That energy of Spirit can work in us. How many of you are Star Trek fans? Yeah, we got a few of you. So it's like, you know, when they stand on the transporter, and they're going to move something, they say, energized, right? And then, boom, they're moved into the next place where they're supposed to be. So that's the call that we give to Spirit. Say, okay, here I am, Spirit. Energize. Let your Spirit work in me. Let it have a way in me. Let it move in me. Let it help me release those things that I don't need, so that the fullness of your joy, your life, your all these gifts of God can come alive in us in a greater way. The word that came to me was propel, as if we're being propelled forward by this energy of Spirit. It's not as, oh, I've got to get up and I got to do this. We've got this energy of Spirit that's available to us, and as we are calling on it, it's energizing us and moving us forward in life. So, propel. So, ask God for a name change. Ask for a new consciousness, a new understanding of who and what you are, so that you can rename yourself. The name comes from God, but then you lay hold of it and you identify yourself that way. It becomes your identity because you're repeating it again and again. You say, this is who I am. This is my reality. This is my truth. This is how my life is working. This is what I'm about. Then you can rename your circumstances. Rather than this is a bother, it's difficult, or you know, I don't want to do this, say, here's a wonderful opportunity for spirit to work. I don't know how yet, but I'm open, I'm willing, I'm calling on that energy of spirit to move in me in a greater way, so that then we can rename our existence after the pattern of the Christ. If we are ready to move beyond simply being human and remembering and claiming and living as spiritual beings, this is what we need to do to rename ourselves in this way. Your new name that you receive will reshape you and your experience with God's blessings. So open yourself to that name that God has for you. Open yourself to laying hold of it. Open yourself to its energy energizing you and moving you forward. Let us pray. Dear God, we know that names have power. We're ready to identify ourselves according to your name, I am. I am renewed in your spirit in this moment, in every moment. I am made new according to the pattern of the Christ. I am your life. I am your joy. I am your blessing. I am your abundance. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.